if you make plans right now with like family members or friends, basically it's an it's an online plan. Like the only plan, like a FaceTime or a Zoom, or we're gonna play a game or a trivia or whatever. Like that's it. There's no other plan you can make.
Right.
So in other words, what I'm saying is, let's say tonight at 8:30 we're gonna FaceTime you. Does that count as a plan? And what I mean by that is, if you decide, you know what, we're gonna cancel it, we'll just do it tomorrow, is that like being a bad friend, bad kid, bad son? You know what I'm saying?
Well,
like,
every family's different. My family, if one person was 1 minute late, one of us could say, piss on it, we don't even care to do this, and nobody would care. There wouldn't be a text. There wouldn't be a phone call. It would be like, whatever, we might do it tomorrow. Nobody in my family would care about anything like that.
Right. I get that, but here's the message that you're sending, like that you just didn't want to do it, because unless there's an emergency, unless one of the kids or something like that, you're at home.
Right.
Like,
but
you're sitting there, you're not doing anything.
But I will say, my wife's family, our niece had a virtual birthday party with a Zoom, and it was in San Francisco, and she said, you're a part of this, and you're sitting your ass down at 11 a.m., and we're doing it.
Yeah.
So that was important to her, where my family couldn't give a, we couldn't care.
Right. And but I guess what I'm saying is the circumstances. Like, when I think of a plan, I think of, I'm meeting you tonight, I'm coming to your house, or we're going to the bar, or we're going to the game. You bail on those plans, that's like a tough move. That's a bad look. It happens. Everyone's got a reason for it from time to time. But basically, right, if you're just like, I'm not in the mood to go for beers, man, I'm out. It's like, really? Like, we've had this plan for weeks. If it's a FaceTime, does that count as a plan? If you don't leave your house, is it a plan?
No. No way.
That's what I thought.
I think it is. I think it is.
I don't think it is. I think it's like, dude, we're just going to be here for 2 months. I'll FaceTime you tomorrow. What does it matter? You know, why do we have to have an 8:30 plan 3 days in advance? We'll do it tomorrow. We're going to be sitting on the couch tomorrow, too. We're not doing anything.
If it's with multiple people, though, if it's like a multiple Zoom, video conference, and you decide to bail, like, you know, I think you're jamming other people up, especially if you're the guy who's a moderator or whatever.
Yeah, but are you jamming them up tomorrow? They're just going to be sitting right at the same table.
No kidding. Who
you know
cares?
What I mean? Like, it's not like it's a Saturday in June we're going to get together, and then Saturday in June comes around, you're like, I'm out. I'm not coming to the party, or I'm not going to your birthday or the game. This is a Zoom at the house, and we're doing a Zoom tomorrow at the house.
Who cares, man?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Okay.
Just
I don't think we established any answer. I think
the answer is that you jam
people
up. Make
sure you tell Marcellus to stay active when you hang up with him.
It's keep active.
Sorry.
Here he is, longtime NFLer, one of our favorites, one of our regulars from FS1, Marcellus Wiley. What's up, Marcellus?
Still over here kicking myself in the butt. So upset that I didn't buy Zoom stock a month ago. Who saw this coming, man?
No,
I never even heard of Zoom.
Me neither.
Like a month ago. Crazy.
Yeah, I had never heard of it either. And I have been invited a minimum like a handful of times from different people. Just a random text. Jump on Zoom. We're talking. Like right now. I'd never heard of it before.
Yeah, man, it's funny, our friends, we're having the group text go around. We haven't planned the date, the moment yet, but we're trying to all just sit in front of our phones and computers on Zoom and just get lit. So I'm looking forward to doing that and see if we're going to keep those plans, because, boy, it could get boring after a while just doing the same old, same old.
Well, I mean, is that going to be happening during the virtual NFL draft? I mean, this is going to be different. This is new. What do you make of this, and how do you anticipate this playing out?
You know, I think the skeleton of it all is going to be comparable to what we're used to seeing. It's just going to lose a lot of the fluff, a lot of the cotton candy that comes within the theatrics. I think you can pull this one off. If you think about it, I never really got too engaged into what the guys were doing in the green room and who did they bring and all the fake smiles and the nervous tension. I kind of just got caught up in who's going where, a little more than I think some of these other productions that are really going to suffer, like the NBA 2K or the NBA playing horse, like those kind of productions. I think trying to really insert them because of the void is not going to play as well. But, hey, a draft is basically, where's Tua going? Where's Joe Burrow really going to go to Cincy? So I think I'm going to save enough of the essential nutrients that I can watch this production, even though it's going to be scaled back.
Marcellus, the one thing I've always wondered about the draft, when they do the, you know, the bro hug when they meet the commissioner. When they're walking out there, they have, some of them have jewelry. They haven't made 1 cent yet, and they have a $200,000 watch on, and they're all blinged up. Where are they getting that stuff from? Is that like agents, or are they renting that stuff? Where do they get that stuff from?
Yeah, I'm not going to talk for every guy. I'll talk for myself and most guys. Once you finish your last game of eligibility, which for most of these guys is December, January at the latest, you're able to sign with an agent. What happens once you sign with an agent, I know I did it in 1997. Soon we finished our last game, early December, signed with my agent, Brad Blank out of Boston. He sent me $10,000, and he's like, live your life. If you want more, no problem with me. You're going to pay me back once you sign this contract. I already know you're good for the money. So I know what I did with the money. I bought an engagement ring, my first of four engagements at the time. And I bought an engagement ring. I bought me some nice clothes, a couple pair of shoes, gave my mom some money, and ran through $10,000 before I could blink. And I think that's what most of these guys are doing. They're just getting fronted by their agents until they sign their first deal. And
so it's, instead of $10,000 now, it's probably like $100,000. They're probably getting $150,000, $200,000.
Yeah, man, that's a larger conversation, too, where you got to protect the guys from themselves, because youth is wasted on the young, man. And you think about it, I'm glad I was capped at $10,000, because if you gave me $100,000, I would have ran through $100,000. You gave me $1 million, I would have ran through $1 million. So you kind of got to pace these guys out at that age.
Well, I know that had been an issue with lockouts in the past, where players were taking insurance out, basically.
Like, you were shocked at guys that would say, you know what, I'm getting tight on money, and you're thinking about all the money they had made and are making. You're like, how the hell could you be short on money?
Well, I think Vince Young was at the forefront of that, didn't he?
Yeah.
He got like $3 million cash, and then the league came back, and his play fell off, and he's still trying to chase it.
Hey, bigger conversations here, but two of them. One, I always believed in an annuity for, if we're talking about paying collegiate players, annuity, not straight cash or deposit to their checking accounts. No, annuity. So it matures over time, and you get it in increments over time. But another thing that's crazy that was rampant when I played, guys in the league, your teammates, we get paid during the regular season. So January, February, and Super Bowl, that's it. No more checks. And every single year I would get maybe five phone calls from a teammate who couldn't make it from February to September when we got our real game checks again. So that off season was really crippling a lot of guys who ran through their money throughout the regular season. And if you notice in the new CBA, they addressed that. And now they're going to pay them, I think, 34 weeks of the 52 weeks of a calendar year versus before it was only 17 weeks.
Marcellus, when you were playing, what was like the go-to move where, I don't know if you've ever seen the ESPN documentary, it's called Broke, where guys just, every sports, they're just running through money, and there's a bunch of car washes and stupid stuff that they were dealing with investors. What was the one thing where guys would call you and say, hey, my guy's got this, you want to get into it, and it was all just a sham?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. Actually, the craziest one was when I was in Buffalo, one of my teammates called me. And he wanted to open up a car wash in Buffalo. And I was like, I don't know if the weather up here really serves year-round for a car wash where it's snowy and it's cloudy or rainy for half the year. So that was a peculiar one. The typical schemes, hey, some guy has a riverboat, he's about to build a casino, and he needs you involved. You kind of see those from a mile away coming. But the crazy thing about it is I'm not a real believer that it's a NFL, NBA athlete problem. I really say it's a young person's problem. And most careers, you don't make your money until you're in your 40s, 50s. The average age of a millionaire in America is 57 years old. So what that means is most people learn how to live in a small fish tank, like we were just talking about. Like, you know, you're in your 20s, you make $20,000, $30,000. You get in your 40s and 50s, you start making some real money. You've adjusted to what money means and value, and also you don't need all the excess. But what happens in the NFL and all the athletes, they're 22. You give anyone, I don't give a damn, the CEO of some company, anyone at 22 millions of dollars, good luck seeing that return. And look, good luck seeing that really invest properly. So I think it's a young person problem more so than just an athlete thing.
With Marcellus Wiley, our NFL analyst, longtime NFLer, also with FS1, we were talking about Tua Tagovailoa last week, and we've brought him up a fair amount, and he's going to come up a lot over the next 2.5 weeks. I mean, the wild card of the draft, and for me, I think the wild card of wild cards for the past decade, if not longer than that, especially considering the circumstances. You can't get him in your facility, no physical, you can't throw reps, no pro day. Of course, he's going to tell everybody he's 100%. But when you watch the tape, when he was healthy, this guy is a stud, man. Like, he is a rock star. What do you see happening here? What is the spectrum for you? Could it get crazy where he drops like Aaron Rodgers into the 20s because of the hip and the injuries? Or do you think at 5, if Miami's still there, he's gone by 5 at the latest?
Oh, man. So many things at play here because, like you said, he's such a stud. I couldn't be a general manager right now. I would tell everyone, oh, man, the fractured hip, 2 ankle surgeries, get him out of here. I heard he even had 5 surgeries, some of them unreported. Get him out of here. And as soon as my pick came, oh, I'm drafting me Tua because I'm so in love with him. I would send so many smoke signals, and I think that's actually occurring right now. The dude is insane. He literally threw the best football I've ever seen at the collegiate level. And I know people want to go back to Elway or Andrew Luck. I watched Andrew Luck in person many a times, and I've seen the clips of Elway. They were insane. This Tua is next level. Has the highest college passing efficiency in history. And everyone keeps talking about how Joe Burrow was amazing last year, which he was. But do you know before injury, Tua was beating him in efficiency even that year where Joe Burrow was breaking records. So Tua spins it differently, and he's always been a rock star since he's been playing football. I would draft Tua. I hope it's not Miami at 5. I hope it's the Chargers at 6, to tell you the truth. I'm a Charger fan and a season ticket holder. So I'm looking forward to hopefully he can land in L.A. and everyone thinks he's damaged goods. But I think it's a little hyped up, his injury issues. We have to remember the details of when Tua hurt his ankle and had to, you know, it was a chance. He was in jeopardy of missing the bowl game. And he elected to have a surgery that tightens the ankles, make him stronger than ever, but more so gets him back on the field in a faster time to be able to play. So I don't think he's as broken down as being advertised, but sensational talent. And I would look to see him go before Miami. I think Miami's his real stopgap. And if not, he's falling right in the lap of my Chargers.
So up here in Toronto, you know, some of the bigger athletes, the bigger named athletes, bigger brand guys, they've been speaking. They've been doing some interviews, whether it's TV, radio, podcast. They're on Instagram. They're on Twitter. Not a lot. You know, it's occasional, but they're getting out there. In L.A., I mean, LeBron's still doing his thing on Instagram. He's probably getting some messages out. I haven't heard a word from Kawhi Leonard, from Uncle Dennis, from his crew. What's up with Kawhi in L.A.? Is he making the rounds? Does anyone know if he's even in L.A.? Like, what's going on with Kawhi Leonard right now?
Oh, I love it, man. Look, free time means me time to Kawhi. Like, he's not all caught up in the social media activation, I think, that a lot of these cats are. And we're all feeling the buzz. We're all feeling the itch. You're inclined to watch more Netflix. You're inclined to check the Instagram and Twitter more. Some more stocks that had to rise, like Zoom, in this last month, because you're just sitting there, and a lot of times you're just stuck in the monotony. But I haven't heard a peep from Kawhi, and that probably is good. I wouldn't want him to go off-brand now since we're all sitting here suffering through the consequences of the pandemic. Be Kawhi, which is, you guys know I'm a mystery, but when I show up, when I finally see you, you understand what it is. I'm the best player on this planet, best two-way player on this planet right now in terms of his efficiency. So I ain't gonna lie, I have not seen, heard, social distancing at his best is Kawhi Leonard right now, trust.
Right, yeah. No, this isn't overly surprising. I was holding out hope. You know, maybe he's done something in L.A., shown up somewhere, but obviously that has not happened. Well, listen, buddy, we always appreciate you finding time for us. And, you know, be safe out there. Keep active, and we'll do this again down the road.
All right, guys. Stay safe, and stay at the house, and make sure you wipe off your keyboards. I guess that's all we can do, right? Keep our keyboards clean. Yeah. All right, brother.
That's the plan. Thanks, Marcellus. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Did you say it again?
I had to. That was a plan. And you could tell Marcellus was like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, he handled it well because he's on the show all the
time. Give me the song with it, please.
Keep Body. Active. Body, baby, get moving. I am going to mix it in occasionally. I'm not going to do it all the time. That was a plant because I had to. And it's Marcellus.
Hazy,
he's our guy.
What about this? You record a fitness little two-minute thing, and we put it on the Twitter account. Body break, we're going to steal their thing.
Yeah.
Or what about we call it hazy break?
Hazy break.
Because we can't
like
steal
that.
Body break, because, and you just have a little tip, fitness tip. Stretch out the hamstrings.